This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Reddit likes fisting. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 683, and we thank you for listening to this online listening experience in podcast form. Several ways that you can find this podcast: on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, it's on YouTube now. So go check us out. Type in Marking Out on YouTube, Marking Out 11. Social media wise, facebook.com/markingout, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Marking Out, Instagram at Marking Out 11, and TikTok at Marking Out, I believe. I don't know. I'm not a TikToker, unfortunately, folks. But thank you for listening. My name is Chris. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris Sweendog. Unfortunately, Brandon and Dave are both in the happiest place on earth this week. So they had to, you know, allow me to, they needed me to do the podcast this week. So I'm happy that I'm feeling needed. I'm also very, very tired. I am in the middle of basketball championship season here in the New York tri-state area, and there's been a lot of basketball broadcasting, a lot of driving, a lot of nonsense. So this is a good way to not think about that nonsense. And I think podcasting is a very valuable platform to do that and talk about other nonsense in our lives, and that's professional wrestling. And one thing that was not nonsense at all, maybe one of, if not one of the greatest AEW pay-per-views in their short history. I know that they said a lot after all these big pay-per-views, but AEW delivers on every pay-per-view that they have, and this was no exception. And that was AEW Revolution Build, Sting's final match. It was at the Greensboro Coliseum in Greensboro, North Carolina, a place that is synonymous with a lot of Sting memories. And this night was no exception to that. You started off, you had two pre-show matches at the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, defeated an all-star team of Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, Jay Lethal, Willie Mack, Private Party, via pinfall. I guess, you know, it's just a way to get everybody on the card. We will continue on as Chris Statlander, Willow Nightingale defeated the team of Julia Hart and Sky Blue via pinfall. I like this duo of Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale. You started off the show with Christian Cage successfully defending his TNT championship over Daniel Garcia via pinfall. I enjoyed this match. You knew everybody in the patriarchy was going to get involved somehow. Daddy Magic makes his way to the ring. But there was no, I mean, I get that they're really investing in Daniel Garcia. However, you can't have Christian lose this thing. I wrote down all these notes this week, and then I threw them out because I was cleaning up my desk. So I don't have any of the notes, and I'm pissed. So I like the fact that he had the homage to Sting when he was coming out. And Christian's been on – this is the run of his career, has been this whole patriarchy thing and turning heel, and I've really enjoyed it. And there's no other way to end this than for him and with a match against Adam Copeland, and we'll talk about that when we get to Dynamite. However, after this, Eddie Kingston successfully defeats Bryan Danielson for the Continental Crown Championship. I really liked – how they kind of made this like a big fight feel, as after backstage before each contender came out, you had Renee Paquette interview them and then just go straight out to the ring. I liked that added component. And, you know, this was a very different match from the first match, where this was more hard-hitting, a lot of chops, and Eddie picks up the victory, which I think is really needed to kind of cement him as a fantastic champion here in AEW. And if, you know, I think this is like, what, his second or third defense of this title, you have to kind of give him a run with this until the next Continental Classic, which I'll be looking forward to whenever they started in November or December, whenever that may be. We were supposed to get a Meat Madness match, but unfortunately there was a bunch of guys injured, which then turned into an all-star scramble, and the winner would receive an AEW championship match where Wardlow picks up the victory over Chris Jericho, Powerhouse Hobbs, Lance Archer, Hook, Brian Cage, Magnus, and Dante Martin. I think this was the only smart choice in this match. However, do I see Wardlow winning the AEW championship anytime soon? No. And that's the thing that frustrates me about being a fan of Wardlow, is that he said it in a promo a couple weeks ago, you know, he was shot up and then shot quickly back down. I think it's a weird time to give Wardlow a championship, especially with how dominant Samoa Joe is and how over kind of he is as the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. So let's continue on, though. We do have a new AEW International Champion as Roderick Strong picked up the victory against Orange Cassidy. I enjoyed this match. It just shows you how much of a workhorse both of these men are. How fantastic shape Roderick Strong has been since coming into AEW. And I think it was finally time for Orange Cassidy to lose the International Championship. I'm a huge Orange Cassidy fan, but everything that he has done within the past year or so with that title has been wonderful. And now it's time for him to move on to bigger and better things or whatever he's going to be doing. So, and it's just another piece to the Undisputed Kingdom puzzle, as you have Mike Bennett and Matt Taven have the ROH tag team titles. Now you're going to put the International Championship on Roderick Strong. Adam Cole comes back. You know, he might be in the mix for the world title. Wardlow is getting a title shot. So it's like, you got to build up the Undisputed Kingdom. This is a great way of putting, what has been a workhorse championship since Orange Cassidy has had it. Strap it on them. So, big story coming out of the end of this match, that was the return of Kyle O'Reilly as he made his way into the ring after the match and looked like he was about to beat down Roderick Strong. However, gave him a big hug, embraced him, and did not take an Undisputed Kingdom shirt and walked out of the ring. So there's another, story arc to the Undisputed Kingdom story right now, as you have the return of Kyle O'Reilly. Good to see him. Great head of hair. Let's continue on. The Blackpool Combat Club picked up the victory over FTR via technical submission in what was a bloody match, which was a hard-hitting match, which was a match that had Mox and Claudio coming out with Road Warrior gear, which I liked, a little homage to since they were in Greensboro, so that was cool. Hard-hitting, great tag team action. And both of these guys will be top players going forward in the AEW tag team division. Solid match, no complaints. Timeless Toni Storm picks up a victory over Deonna Purrazzo by pinfall to successfully defend her AEW Women's World Championship. As I said with Orange Cassidy, his time with it was coming to an end. As much as I would have loved to see Deonna Purrazzo win the title here, I think it plays a very nice factor into Toni Storm and her whole gimmick. I really enjoyed Mariah May coming out dressed as the old Toni Storm, which she said, in her Media Scrum interview that after, she was going to give Deonna Purrazzo the new Toni Storm and the old Toni Storm. So I like that part. Toni Storm's still a champion. Deonna Purrazzo, they're really building a really nice... I mean, they've had a good women's division, but like with the addition of Deonna Purrazzo, Toni Storm's been great. You know, there's all these talks about next week at AEW Big Business, it's going to be Mercedes Moné. So they're really building a nice... like stars to their women's division. Next up, match of the year candidate. It's right now I'm filming this. It's March 8th. Yep, it's March 8th. And we have, I think, the first strong contender for Match of the Year candidate is Will Ospreay defeats Konosuke Takeshita 22 minutes flat in what was a banger. I always talk about on this show about how wrestling shows should be roller coasters. You know, you bring them up, you bring them down, you have to bring them back up and down. This match was that. It had the ups and the downs. It had the technical side of it. It had the kickouts. It had a Tiger Driver 91, which I watched this match Sunday night. Actually, I watched it in real time on Sunday night. I didn't have to go back and watch anything. And when he hit that Tiger Driver 91 at the end, I cringe. That's like, but I suspected both these guys, unbelievable. I think Konosuke Takeshita is so talented. And, you know, I feel like Will Ospreay's coming into AEW has kind of changed me as a Will Ospreay fan. I was like, all right, whatever, it's Will Ospreay, whatever. But now, like, I kind of, like, get it. Maybe because I don't watch that much New Japan and I don't see him that much, but I'm about it. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we don't know how long Kenny Omega is going to be on the shelf for, but this could be a guy that could step into the Kenny Omega role as like a top babyface for this company. Congrats to these two for putting on a banger of a match. And we will continue on because I don't know how you go after that, but another great match did is Samoa Joe defends his AEW World Championship successfully in a three-way match by pinning Adam Page and Swerve Strickland. I think it was the right move to have Adam Page take the pinfall instead of Swerve because they are building for something with Swerve here. And if they had him get pinned, it would have taken the wind out of his sails. And, you know, we'll talk about that when I talk about AEW in a couple of minutes. But again, you know, just guys that know how to work, doing their thing. I liked it. I liked the match. And Samoa Joe's still a champion. And here's one thing I think Bully Ray brought up on Busted Open this week that I totally agree with is the fact that, like, when they put the world title on Swerve, like, it needs to be, like, a moment. Tonight at Revolution, especially with Sting's last match, he wasn't going to get that moment because it was going to be, I don't want to say overshadowed because that's, like, a condescending term, in my opinion. Like, it would have taken I'm trying to think of the right word to put here. It would have taken a backseat to Sting. It's like, oh, yeah, Sting's retiring. Oh, yeah, Swerve Strickland. Yep, he won the World Heavyweight Championship. No, like, you want to do that where, like, coming off of that pay-per-view, that's going to be the topic you're going to talk about. And I feel like keep Samoa Joe going, man. Like, he's doing a great job with it. And, you know, once Swerve does get the World Championship, which it looks like, you know, he's might be in line for it soon, it's going to be awesome. So, great three-way match for the AEW World Championship. And finally, you're in your main event. Sting retires successfully defending his AEW World Tag Team Championships with his partner Darby Allin, defeating the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jack. By the way, I hate that. Like, you want to talk about getting heat. Like, I was never a fan of the Young Bucks now, but, like, now, like, they're just, like, annoying. Like, and I get it. Like, that's the persona. That, like, they're really doing a good job and making me not like them even more than I didn't like them. So, bravo to Matthew and Nicholas Jackson for that. And bravo to Sting and this match and the presentation of it. This was a lot of people are saying this, a fantastic way to send a wrestler out, especially like the icon that Sting is. A, they let him go out on top. B, the stat was thrown out there that he was undefeated in AEW on his AEW run. And also, this was, hands down, one of the best comebacks you could say in wrestling history. Because he didn't have to be world champion at all. He was an attraction. He did a whole bunch of things that people haven't seen before. And, like, you could say, like, he got it out of his system. But let me backtrack to, like, the beginning of the match, too. And, like, again, we talked about, like, I talked about the presentation of this match. A, the video montage package of Sting sitting in a lonely theater and seeing all these highlights of his career. And then, you know, the curtains closing and him looking in the camera going, it's showtime for one last time. Let's go. Like, it gave me chills. Like, and I'm not a huge, like, I was never a huge Sting guy, but, like, now, like, looking back on it in hindsight, outstanding. Un-freaking-leavable. And then going into his entrance where they're playing his AEW theme music, and Surfer Sting comes out. And then Wolfpack Sting comes out. And they say that it's his son dressed up like him. What an homage, man. Like, that's so cool. And then it goes out, and freaking Seek and Destroy by Metallica comes on, and I mark the heck out, and everybody marks out, and he just comes out, and there's just like, and then Justin Roberts' call on it was just like, for the last time, because I'm talking about it right now, and I'm getting chills. It was just so well done. Everybody's singing Seek and Destroy as he comes out. Like, that's how you get it right on somebody's last match. Like, it was just so perfectly done. And the match itself, if it's going, like, I want, like, the way that you go out in a match like this, as not even just a match, but a freaking spectacle of what it was. You know, there's the talk about the Darby Allin spot, which was maybe, I've watched a lot of deathmatch wrestling before in my life. That was just wild. And if you didn't see it, go back and see it. Darby Allin jumping off of a ladder in the ring to the falling through the, well, trying to hit one of the Jacksons through a pane of glass, but misses, goes through chairs and a pane of glass. And then, like, I have to give the camera guys props for getting in there. And then you just see his whole back just burst open, which was wild. And, like, also for this match, and especially the how personal this story came about, bringing in an object like panes of glass, I thought it was it going over the top? Yes. But when you attack a man's family, when you attack a man's sons, it gets that personal where you just don't want to hurt them. You want to hurt them. If that makes sense. I like the fact that in the match, Sting, he goes to swing the bat. Boom, misses. He misses on the stairs. Then he swings the bat. He tries to go for the pane of glass. And, like, it doesn't break. But then he just goes, screw it, and breaks it all. Like it got me invested. Like Sting's, like, gonna do anything in this match. Sting goes through a pane of glass. Like, it was just, it was wild. And for Sting to pick up the victory in his last match, everybody going into it was like, yep, the Young Bucks are going to win. That's it. Whatever. Sting's going to retire. But having Sting go out on top and giving him the celebration, and then afterwards, the confetti and everybody talking and all that stuff, I thought it was excellently well done. Well done. Bravo to everybody in the AEW creative area for the presentation of this, the video packages. Props to Sting for being his last match, and I think that was the first pane of glass he ever went through. And it just being wild. And props to Darby Allin for doing Darby Allin stuff. And if you didn't read that article in the Players Tribune that he wrote about Sting, like, read it, because, you know, I said this at after the pay-per-view we went to in December, World's End, that Darby was kind of growing on me, and I feel like with that Players Tribune thing and then what he did in this match, Darby's kind of growing on me. I like him, you know, like, he is a risk-taker, he's a dear, should that, and going back to, like, I'm all over the place here because I just really, like, enjoyed this match, that, you know, people say, like, oh, man, that Darby, glass spot was going to overshadow Sting's entrance. It didn't, though. That's the thing. Sting went through glass. Sting went through tables, you know. Kickouts at one, which was wild. But a great way to send Sting out. An icon. You know, people are saying, too, you know what, like, looking back at it, like, he could be on a Mount Rushmore guy. You know, unfortunately, he did not have the best time in WWE. Maybe that he should have deserved. But I think AEW did it right by him. I hope he stays in some sort of the AEW, you know, realm, or, you know, creative, or, you know, there to coach and support some of, you know, these younger talents. So it was very cool. But that was AEW Revolution. I thought it was an outstanding pay-per-view. I think every single time AEW does things right with their pay-per-views, regardless if they're on a Sunday night at up till 12 o'clock, still fantastic to me. But let's switch over from Revolution and let's get to Dynamite. Being at the Guess South Arena in Duluth, Georgia, it's a new season of AEW in March. I didn't know season started in March, but the new rebranding, new color scheme, new video packages, new theme song, I like all of it. I like the entranceway. The backsplash they had to there kind of reminded me a little bit of Chikara. I don't know if that's what they were going for, but it's sleek, it's clean. I like it a lot. I know people are like, oh, it's NXT 2.0. They're just ripping off NXT. Shut up. Relax. Go on the internet and tweet more about something else. Oh, yeah, wait. You don't have anything else to tweet for? So we'll continue on. We start the show off with Tony Schiavone and Swerve Strickland. Promo talking about how he didn't become the world champion. Samoa Joe comes out and tells him essentially to get back in line. And then the Undisputed Kingdom comes out and talks about how Wardlow now has a title shot. And he's going to be the next champion. I like the jab that Swerve said. Hey, if you want to manage somebody else, I got Britt Baker's second phone number in my back pocket. What a jab. And it sets up a match where Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland pick up a victory over Mike Bennett and Matt Taven. And afterwards, Samoa Joe locks Swerve in a sleeper hold. So Joe using Swerve to set an example for Wardlow and hypes up that next week at Big Business, they're going to have a championship match. So again, like the placement of I don't think Wardlow's winning next week. And that sucks because, you know, they should have taken this and ran with it and made Wardlow the world champ and really put the focus on your show on the Undisputed Kingdom, you know, because that was the hottest story of last year was the devil. And then when this kingdom debuted, Adam Cole got hurt. I'm going to take a sip of water here for the working man. Delicious. But also, going back to Swerve, it's giving Swerve a little bit of sympathy now that he got choked out, and he's really got to earn his way back to it. So, you had a backstage segment with Hook, Chris Jericho, talking about how, you know, he dumped him on his head at Revolution, and he was in the ring with him. He realizes he's the real deal, and Jericho walks away. But after this, you had Hook successfully defend his FTW championship against Brian Cage in what was a messy match. There was fire extinguishers. There was trash can lids. There was DDT. There was steel chairs. There was thumbtacks. But Hook got the red rum on for the win. Which was great. And, you know, again, it's still hyping up. I know, oh my God, Hook is so much smaller than Brian Cage. He should beat the living snot out of him. But I liked it. Afterwards, the Gates of Agony attack Hook. And then Chris Jericho comes out to the ring. So it looks like Chris Jericho and Hook will start being tag partners. And maybe it'll lead to a match between the two of them. Because allegedly now Sammy Guevara is suspended after that match a few weeks ago with Jeff Hardy. So we'll see where, and I think Chris Jericho's taking time off of TV to go on tour or something like that. So we'll see, what this new, friendship between Jericho and Hook, what happens with it. It was announced though that, even though Sting and Darby Allin are tag team champions, they have been stripped of their titles since, Sting, what did he do? What did Sting do? He retired. Sorry about that. And there's going to be a tournament to crown new AEW World Tag Team Champions. So if you look at like the broad spectrum of the teams that you have in AEW, you have FTR, you have the Blackpool Combat Club. You know, there was a backstage promo with Best Friends saying that it's going to be Orange Cassidy and Trent going into this tournament. You have the Butcher and the Blade. Who else do you have? And you have a lot of tag teams. So, like, you could have a really nice, long tag team tournament for this that can conclude. I think the next pay-per-view is Dynasty, which is their new pay-per-view, excuse me. So, I don't know. I don't see anybody, or maybe the Young Bucks will throw themselves in there, too, and they'll win the tag team titles. That would not be fun. But anyway, we will continue on. As Killswitch picks up a victory over Daddy Magic Matt Menard. This, you know, stems from everybody's involvement in that TNT Championship match on Sunday. But Killswitch picks up the victory. Post-match, though, Christian Cage, the Patriarchy, everybody celebrating until Adam Copeland runs out, hits Killswitch with the steel chair, and chokes out Nick Wayne. And then Mother Wayne, who I think is a great addition to this whole thing, she goes for a low blow, but Copeland blocks it, and And Christian Cage runs away. Adam Copeland says they're going to end this where it started, and on March 20th on Dynamite, it'll be Copeland Cage 3 for the TNT Championship in an I Quit match, and I think this is where the story... Well, I mean, the story should not end, but the story will end as I think Adam Copeland becomes your new TNT Champion, which I'm about. I'm cool. I'm happy with it. After this, though, you have a backstage segment with Kyle O'Reilly. He says... he thought he'd never wrestle again. He's very grateful. He has love and respect for the Undisputed Kingdom. But you got to understand that he's fallen down the mountain and he doesn't know which path to take. So he's got a second chance and he's just got to do it on his own. So I wonder what's going to happen with Kyle O'Reilly going forward. Maybe some of the biggest news out of this entire night was the major announcement by Matthew and Nicholas Jackson that they have suspended Hangman Adam Page after he attacked two officials. They also said that they have fired Kenny Omega from the Elite, which then leads Eddie Kingston to come out. I don't know what Eddie Kingston has involved with this. And Matthew was telling Eddie not to air their grievances on television. And Nicholas got closer to Kingston. However, as they were about to... they're fighting and tussling. Matthew Jackson gives a low blow to Eddie Kingston, and then they're about to hit the EVP trigger, and the coin drops happen. And Kazuchika Okada plays. He comes out, and he turns on Eddie Kingston. Hits him with a Rainmaker, which I thought was really awkward. And then it's announced he's all Elite, and the newest member of the Elite is Okada. So we're probably going to see the Young Bucks and Okada become the Trios champions yet again that people are going to hate. And it's going to be an interesting thing, too, to see Okada be hated. He's always been such a New Japan a beloved performer, and now he's going to be on the side of the Young Bucks, who are just hated all the time now. So, but not just me. So, yeah, Okada's all Elite, stepping up the game yet again. After this, though, you had Riho pick up a victory over Chris Statlander. I get the story was, Chris Statlander should have used the chain that Stokely Hathaway gave her. But I know I should be like, oh, suspend your disbelief. But, I just don't get it. But Willow's challenged Riho coming up, so we'll talk about that in the next coming weeks. And we had a backstage promo with Timeless Toni Storm saying how she on Collision, she's going to be presenting her first ever Tony Award, not Tony, so they don't get sued, which I thought was very funny. And that's it. And yeah, so women's division alive and well in AEW. We have another Tony Schiavone in ring promo, this time with Darby Allin. Darby Allin says, he's beat up. Next week, he's got a match against Jay White. And then on March 27th, he's going to Mount Everest. And there's no guarantee that he's coming back. So he just wants to thank everybody. He wants to say congratulations to Sting. And he relinquishes his AEW World Championship. Jay White comes out. And, they just have a little bit of a back and forth about their match next week. Hyping up for big business. And your main event of the evening saw Will Ospreay in another awesome match defeat his friend Kyle Fletcher. One thing that I like so far is that it's kind of been like, and Don Callis did a very good job of painting the picture on Dynamo as well. He's like, he wants the best competition. We're going to give him the best competition. The best competition is the Callis family. So he's going to fight his own family. But I see now, as Will starts facing these guys, there's going to be some separation that's going to take the heel Callis family away from Will Ospreay, and he'll be like the big baby face. But I thought this match was awesome. Especially, they really did a good job of saying how good of friends that they were. Really painting that picture. But it was awesome. And I'm becoming more and more of a fan of Will Ospreay as the weeks come by. And I'm looking forward to keep seeing more of him. And keep up this kind of baby face role. After the match, though, Bryan Danielson comes to the ring and they have a stare down as they go off air. So maybe Dynasty, it'll be Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. I don't know offhand if we have ever seen that match, but Yeah, it's going to be a slappy, slap, slapping, slapping good time. And I'm here for it. And I hope you're here for it as well. And professional wrestling in a hall right now is really awesome. 10 years ago, we would be sitting on this podcast complaining about things that we didn't like. And now we have so many different shows for any particular style that you like. And I just talked about AEW. I didn't talk about the Indies. I didn't talk about Impact. Brandon's going to come up and talk to you about Monday Night Raw in a minute. But it's just a really great time to be a professional wrestling fan. So many things are cool about it. So many things are making it into the mainstream with The Rock being back in WWE. So it's a pretty awesome time, everybody. So I am going to step aside for a couple minutes and let Brandon rant and rave about Monday Night Raw here on Marking Out.
This is Jake the Snake Robinson. In case you didn't know it, you're listening to Marking Out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Marking Out episode 683. I'm doing awesome as always, and I'm going to get right into Monday Night Raw that opened up with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins as well. I thought it was a good segment. I liked how Cody intertwined everything together. He also kind of let Seth off the hook to focus on Drew McIntyre, but Seth basically said he's 100% there with him. He announced that he's medically cleared, and he said he'll be at SmackDown. Cody also said he'll be at SmackDown, and they'll address everything from there. And I assume it's going to 100% set up that tag team match at WrestleMania. And I'll cover that next week if anything like big comes from it. But we all know that the writing's on the wall there. First match of the night saw Gunther pick up the victory over Dominic Mysterio. I liked the two of them going at it and hearing how loud the crowd would cheer when Gunther did something. But booing just as loud as they cheered when Dominic did something. And I thought that was really funny. Gunther made him tap out. I think it was an obvious outcome, which Rhea Ripley was like, what she said after the fact to Dominic, what did you expect? What were you thinking was going to happen? And Damian Priest was like, we'll handle Imperium. And then he told JD McDonagh to handle Gunther. And I don't get that at all. I'll cover that more in a bit. But later on, the Judgment Day picked up a victory over Imperium, which I thought this was like a crazy match because they both went so hard at one another. The Judgment Day, I would say, even maybe a bit more than Imperium. Like even the final South of Heaven that Damian Priest hit, there was just like more oomph to it. I thought this was a very well done, hard-hitting match between the two teams. And then also later on, DIY, R-Truth, and The Miz Xavier Woods. Miz walked in. They were playing 2K24. And Miz said that he has an idea for payback for the Judgment Day. We'll find out what that is probably next week. Hopefully it involves the Awesome Truth, maybe, perhaps, taking the championships off the Judgment Day at some point. WrestleMania, that'd be ideal. We saw Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark pick up the victory over Kayden Carter and Katana Chance. We saw Damage Control show up to the building for this match, which Adam Pearce was not happy with, but Damage Control was like, we're tag team champions, we can go wherever we want. And the match goes on. I thought it was a bit shaky at first, but just when Katana Chance had the match won, Shayna Baszler made the save, and it led to them picking up the victory. And then Damage Control got up on the apron. Dakota Kai got in the ring. And she said after they win at Roadblock, they'll come back to Monday Night Raw next week and they'll give Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark a title shot. So I assume that match is basically set in stone. And we'll see Damage Control go over. We saw Nia Jax pick up the victory over Becky Lynch via disqualification. This was good back and forth between the two of them. That leg drop that Nia Jax did from the middle rope I thought was dope. But Becky Lynch moved out of the way of the Annihilator and locked in an armbar. Nia Jax escaped from that and Becky Lynch held on, which led to Nia Jax and Becky Lynch outside the ring. Becky Lynch gets swung into the barricade. And Liv Morgan shows up from behind and attacks Nia Jax. And then we saw Liv Morgan taunt Becky Lynch afterwards. She said last week, not everything's about you. And Nia Jax dragged her out of the ring. She hit a Samoan drop into the ring post on Becky Lynch. And then hit a leg drop outside on the floor to Liv Morgan. And I thought that was very strong booking for her. She comes out looking like a monster. And I think she's been booked incredibly well since her return. And then we saw Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan argue about this. And it led to a match set up for next week. And Rhea Ripley showed up and laughed at Becky Lynch. And then we saw Damage Control approach Rhea Ripley later on. Rhea yelled at them, saying to stay out of her territory. And Io was just like, she like scoffed it off. I thought that was a great interaction between the two champions. We saw Andrade pick up a victory over Apollo Crews. He's been on Main Event recently. It's been just over 7 months since we've seen Apollo Crews on Monday Night Raw. But obviously, Almas was winning this match. We got the reverse elbow. We got the running knees to the corner. He hit that hammerlock DDT and picked up the victory, which I think Michael Cole referred to it as La Sombra, which I thought was cool. He mentioned La Sombra earlier on, like as the actual gimmick itself. But I think maybe Andrade has renamed that move as such. So I thought it was cool to hear that on Monday Night Raw twice. WWE also paid tribute to Paul Butcher Vachon, who passed away last week at the age of 86. He was a member of the legendary Vachon family and the adoptive father of Luna Vachon. I'm kind of surprised that he's not already in the WWE Hall of Fame, but I think it would be cool if they brought back the legacy inductees and they put more Vachons in the Hall of Fame. We saw a backstage segment with The Way where they were talking about getting another title shot, and Indy was basically like, oh, it'll come, we'll get another shot. And Candice was pissed off. And Tegan and Natty were in this scene as well, where Natty was like, well, it didn't help that you tried to eliminate me in the Battle Royal. And she's like, well, you tried to do it to me in the Royal Rumble, blah, blah, blah. And they end up leaving. Maxine and Ivy Nile showed up, and Maxine tried to give Candice LeRae some advice. And Candice was like, I don't need any advice from someone who can't even lace up my boots. And I'm like, oh my God. So I don't want to see The Way break up. I'm fine if they turn heel or whatever, but I don't know. I mean, I would like to see a new singles championship introduced for the women. I don't want an intercontinental championship or something. I want like a brand new championship. But I was thrown off by Candice saying that. I wasn't expecting that because obviously that's kind of heelish, but we'll see what happens with that. They announced earlier in the day and they played a video package for him on Monday Night Raw. Paul Heyman is the first inductee to the 2024 Hall of Fame. Completely deserving. And I think it should be fun for that Philly crowd to see him get inducted there. He's literally done it all in the business. He's been general managers. He's been owners. He's been commentary. He's been managers, advocates, special counsel, everything. So I think it's awesome that Paul Heyman's getting inducted. We've been calling for it for years. So I think Philly is very fitting. I think there's a plethora, I don't know why I said that, a plethora of people who could be potentially inducting Paul Heyman. I think Stone Cold Steve Austin would do it. We could see the Dudley Boys perhaps, Tommy Dreamer, CM Punk I think is a good candidate. Roman Reigns I think is also a good candidate. And I'm looking forward to seeing who else gets inducted. I wish that Paul Heyman had a WCW and ECW version of himself in 2K24. I feel like that would have been like super easy to do, especially since they're doing a My Faction ECW Paul Heyman DLC card for my faction, I feel like you could give us the model. But earlier in the night, we saw Adam Pearce announce a big match for the Intercontinental Championship, or a big potential match, stipulation, advancement for WrestleMania. A gauntlet match between Sami Zayn, Ricochet, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bronson Reed, JD McDonagh. I still don't get that. And Chad Gable. They'll compete next week in a gauntlet to see who will move on to face Gunther at WrestleMania. I'm hoping that it's Chad Gable, but I'll settle for something else that leads to a ladder match. Especially because this next match that I'm going to talk about, Sami Zayn picks up the victory over Ivar, which stemmed from that Intercontinental Championship announcement, kind of. I don't know how Ivar got, like, glossed over here. I don't know how he didn't end up in that gauntlet. So that's why I really just hope that it's a ladder match and we get a ladder match at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship. Shades of WrestleMania 32. And hopefully that winner is Chad Gable. But Michael Cole went absolutely nuts for Valhalla having the antlers here. And she ends up putting them on his head, which he marked out big time for. Pat McAfee dropped a big curse, which I thought was funny. But I thought it was a nice match from Ivar and Sami Zayn. The sunset flip powerbomb from Sami off the top rope I thought was nice. In the end, though, Ivar took some time before going for the moonsault, and Sami Zayn moved, and he hit the Huluva kick and picked up the victory off of that. And then Bronson Reed showed up, took Sami Zayn out, hit the tsunami on him, and I thought we were going to see more contestants from that gauntlet match next week show up, but that didn't happen. And then Gunther was interviewed about his victory over Dominic earlier, which he actually put Dominic over. I wasn't expecting that. And then Kathy Kelly asked him about the gauntlet match itself, and he said that he thinks that the field should be stacked to face him, and whoever wins is going to obviously lose at WrestleMania against him. Chad Gable showed up, and he explained why he's going to be taking that title from Gunther at WrestleMania, and I truly, 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 I said it before, I really hope it's Chad Gable. I really do. And then in the main event, we saw Drew McIntyre pick up the victory over Jey Uso. I liked Drew's interview earlier where he responded to what Seth Rollins had said. And then he moved on to Jey Uso and said all he ever wanted was an apology from Jey, and he never got one. And then Jey responded right before the main event saying sorry, but sorry for what he's going to be doing in the match. This match is kind of iffy for me here. I liked when Drew McIntyre tossed Jey Uso over the commentary table. He yelled yeet, and then Michael Cole was like, no yeet. And then later on, they're back outside the ring. McIntyre suplexes Jey Uso. They cut to commercial, and when they came back, they were still out there. And I assume that it was one of them broke the count during the break, but it's weird to come back to from commercial and still be outside the ring. And they get back in the ring only to spend more time outside the ring. I didn't get that at all. And then Solo showed up and Cody ran down to brawl with Solo. Drew goes for a claymore. Jey rocks him with a barrage of super kicks. And he followed up with a spear. And then right when he went to go outside the ring for an Uso splash, Jimmy shows up. And that was a distraction for him. Jey gets back in the ring and Drew McIntyre rocks him with that claymore and picks up the victory. Jimmy grabs a chair. Seth Rollins ran down, whizzed right past Drew McIntyre. Not even focused on McIntyre. He just sprints to the ring, takes out Jimmy. So Drew McIntyre goes back towards the ring. And when Seth turned around, boom, hits him with a claymore. And I thought that was a very good ending to Monday Night Raw. The match itself, I was not a fan of. I did not like how much time they spent outside the ring there at all. But that's Monday Night Raw. I'll cover NXT Roadblock and SmackDown, all the main points next week. Because I am going to Florida. Dave is going to Florida. So, hey, Chris, got a match of the week?
Chris's match of the week.
Chris's match of the week.
You're dang right. I have a match of the week. My match of the week this week is going to be the match of the year for this week year, and it is Will Ospreay versus Konosuke Takeshita from Revolution 2024. What a slapfest. And now it's time for Brandon and his great, outstanding shoutouts.
Why did the chicken cross the road to listen to Brandon's shoutouts? Waka waka.
Spaceman gets the first shout out. It's a brand new movie on Netflix starring Adam Sandler playing an astronaut who goes to the edge of the solar system and he encounters an alien spider who helps him, voiced by Paul Dano. I thought this was going to be a comedy, but it's actually a science fiction drama. And it kind of left me confused. I saw the stuff. It's based off of a book, and I saw that the ending might be slightly different. But I really do think that Adam Sandler pulled off this dramatic role incredibly, and that's mainly why it's a shout-out. I didn't fully enjoy the movie itself, but I enjoyed Adam Sandler's performance in this very much so. My next shout out goes to the movie Players, also a new movie out on Netflix starring Gina Rodriguez and Damon Wayans Jr. She is a sports writer from New York City who, along with her friends group, have a whole bunch of plays to meet women and men to hook up. And it's really like the standard rom-com formula, but I don't think I've seen any in this sort of fashion where it's got a strong female lead like that, where she's the one going out there and really being the mastermind behind all of their hookups, perhaps. And towards the beginning of the movie, I figured what the ending would basically be. And it turned out to be that ending. And I still enjoyed the film. I think it's much better than the reviews online. So I would say check it out. It's on Netflix, like I said. And then my final shout out goes to Sting. He is an absolute legend. He retired. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you know Sting retired at AEW Revolution. On Sunday, I got to meet Sting back in 2004 at Ringside Fest. And it's really crazy that this October is already 20 years. I was 15. That's like bizarre that 20 years went by. And I only saw him wrestle one time back in 2000. I had free tickets to a Nitro that took place at the Nassau Coliseum. And he beat Lance Storm on that episode of Nitro. And I wish I had a digital camera back then, because there are so many events that I went to that I don't have like full memories of. I have like bits and pieces in my head, which I guess is what memories really are anyway. But I really just wish I had a digital camera to look back on those memories and have like them actually solidified in my head by seeing the photographs and even videos. I would take that too. I also dressed as Wolfpack Sting for Halloween in 2014. And I hope to see Sting at the Hall of Fame this year. I'm not going, but I mean on television. I really do hope that this is the year we see Lex Luger inducted. And I hope Sting is the one that's inducting him. I hope we see Sting make his return to the 2K video game franchise. And all in all, thank you, Sting. The icon. The legend. Those are my shout-outs. Now it's time for our
Markout Moment of the Week.
That is right, our Markout Moment of the Week. I'm going to go first because last week on The Tonight Show, Dave Bautista was a guest. And they did a bit where Jimmy Fallon got him a lunchbox because obviously Dave Bautista, if you know, he collects lunchboxes. And then he opened it and it was like a Russian nesting doll of different lunchboxes of movie franchises that he's been part of. But the very last lunchbox was a tiny, tiny little lunchbox that featured him as a WWE superstar. And he did the thumbs up and thumbs down gimmick and then crushed it. And I marked the absolute heck out for that. I thought that was fantastic. And then Jimmy Fallon and him did the ew sketch later on, which to me, it unlocked a new version of Bautista. And I thought it was a very enjoyable episode with Bautista on there. Also, in regards to The Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon did a quick bit with Lindsay Lohan where she played the twins like the Parent Trap. And I definitely wasn't expecting to see that. And I thought that was pretty cool. And then overall, I mentioned Sting retiring before. I have to say his entrance from Revolution, I thought it was so damn cool. Like, I literally thought when his son first came out dressed as in the Great American Bash gear, I literally thought that was Sting. And that made me pop more because I was like forever wanting to see Sting with his bleached hair again. But it was his kids, and I thought that was a great ending. I thought the match itself was fun. We put out an Instagram reel and a TikTok collaboration. You could obviously find that on our TikTok and Instagram, but we did the collaboration with one of our followers. You could follow him at Tatersnake on Instagram. He actually went to Revolution and got us that footage from the event. So thank you for that. And then it was cool to hear Michael Cole thank Sting on Monday Night Raw and give a shout out to him for retiring. And I thought that was very unexpected and really cool. But those are my markout moments of the week. How about yourself, Chris?
I have a few markout moments of the week as well. We'll start off Sting's entrance from Revolution. Seek and Destroy. The camera work, like the high panning jib shot showing the whole crowd and not just showing one side of the arena. 16,000 people sold out. AEW can't draw a house. You know, stuff like that. That was awesome. Bull Nakano being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, which I think is overly deserved. And there's so many female wrestlers now that use her as an influence. She had outstanding matches with Alundra Blaze in the early 90s of WWE. So, Alundra Blaze or Medusa should be inducting her, for one. And two, I marked out hard about that. I also marked out AEW made some reveals going forward for their action figures, and we're getting an Adam Copeland. I saw a 3D render of it, and it looks pretty great. So stoked to see that on the shelves. I marked out for Colin Young of Twitching Tongues wearing Sting face paint at their show last Sunday when Revolution was happening. So that was very cool. And, I marked out for this picture that Brody King posted on a Twitter or whatever it was. It's a picture like thanking Sting, but it's like him. Where is it? I have it in my phone somewhere. That's Sunday. Where is this picture? And I said it was like the hardest picture of all time, but it's like Sting, Brody King, Buddy Murphy or Buddy Matthews, Darby and Great Muta, like after a match, and they're like Sting and Muta sitting down the front, like Darby's and like everybody's face paint is all like off and stuff like that, and they're all like looking at camera, and it's just like the toughest hardcore band ever. And I marked out super hard about that. So that, oh yeah, here it is. It's right in front of me. Yeah, it looks, it's pretty sick. Go on Brody's Twitter and look it up because it's HARD. But that's marking out episode 600. And 83 for this week. I'm glad I got to be here. I want to thank Brandon for allowing me to be here and asking me to do this. And I want to thank Dave for finally going to Disney World, the most magical place on earth. And we're not talking about Long Island, New York. So until next week, facebook.com/markingout, twitter.com/markingout, YouTube and Instagram, /markingout11. You can email us markingout1@gmail.com. Buy our merchandise. I didn't say that in the beginning of the show. I should have. ProWrestlingTees.com/markingout. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris Sweendog. You can follow Dave on Twitter at David PTDPD, and Brandon on all social media influencing platforms at BTTG161. So until next week, I wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors, and thank you.